What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show here on SureDog.com. My name is Sean Sheehan, and I am back with another edition of the betting show. And it's a very interesting weekend in the world of mixed martial arts, mostly on my home island here, as Bellator bring a pretty big, interesting, fun card to Belfast this Friday. There's also a UFC card this weekend, which, you know, it's not the best UFC card we've seen, to be honest, but there is a pretty good main event, and I've picked out a couple of bets from that, a couple of bets from Bellator, and my fire as well from the Bellator main event, so we'll get to all of that. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't follow me this week after last week. Last week was an unmitigated disaster, the worst. The worst so far. I went the two, well, there was two cage warrior style fights and then like a big contender fight. So I went for the favorite in one, the underdog in the other, both wrong. I went for the slight underdog in the Luke Riley fight, the Jesus, wrong. I went for the under in OSB Kennedy, 1.5 rounds, wrong. And Tybora, the Tuivasa fight to go decision, also wrong. So yeah. 0 for 4 on the picks, and 0 for 1, is that how you say it, I think, and I got 5 wrong last week. Terrible, no excuses. Look, we've been going pretty steady, I suppose, over the last while. We've been getting, you know, 2 out of 4 2 out of 4, 1 out of 4, not great, 3 out of 4, 2 out of 4, you know, it was... This was the worst week so far. And I'll be honest, we've been going okay, right? We've been going steady, but we haven't had a great week in a good while. So it's time to turn it around. And hopefully my local expertise I thought I'd have that in cage Irish too, but hopefully that'll work this week. We'll have a better week, and we will have you know, some success. It's tough. Everyone knows, like, I know people on my side of the world. Cheltenham was on as well last week, and I probably had a bit more success in Cheltenham than I did in the donkeys that I back in MMA. But anyway, we'll try to back some better ones this week and see where we can take it to, and see where we can maybe make a little bit of money and take it forward into the rest of the year. So I'm going to start off here with Bellator and give my first two bets for Bellator, then my two bets for the UFC, and then my flyer here. So let's do it that way. Right. First bet I'm going for here is Fabian Edwards. I really like Fabian Edwards in this fight against Aaron Jeffrey. Fabian is -140 to win this fight. Although you can get him, you know, the prices are moving, I suppose, around all the time. And actually, here we go. Here's something fun for everyone. Look at this. I can pull up the prices here now. So this is a new thing I'll hopefully bring on. I know people are giving out about the graphics and the prices being on. So here we go. So Fabian Edwards is the best price, -140. So that's the one I have taken here. And he's fight against Aaron Jeffrey. As I said, not all these prop bets and stuff are up yet. But I like him in this fight against Aaron Jeffrey. And I have a few reasons for it. The main part of this is when you look at Fabian Edwards' record, and you look at maybe the guys who he has fought and the way those fights have gone, I think... you could be fooled into thinking this is a bad matchup for him, but I don't know, is it necessarily that at all, right? So he's lost 3 fights in his career. Johnny Eblen, Austin Vanderver, Casella Vancinas, you know, pretty much a kind of a striking matchup, a split decision close one. Austin Vanderver, he did get kind of wrestled in that fight, although I thought he actually won that fight. It was a lot closer. And in the Johnny Eblen fight, he did very well for periods of that fight to keep it on the feet and make Johnny Eblen pay one round or two in that fight as well. And I think the level of wrestling Johnny Eblen has compared to most guys in Bellator, I think that would suggest that Fabian did pretty well in that realm. So, as I said, you could look at that and go, oh, his last 2 losses were to wrestlers, but not... That's a bit deceiving, right? That is a bit deceiving. And as I said, let's bring a bit of expertise to this. And I think that is true. Now, that's not to say he won't get wrestling. He won't lose to Aaron Jeffrey here, or he won't lose to a wrestler in the future. But I do think maybe the price being a minus 140 is based on that. Like, looking at Fabian's record here, as I said, Evelyn Vanderford, and then there was Musasi, Ward, Machida in the middle of that. And I, like, speaking to Fabian last week, I wonder, because you look at those results, right? He knocked out Machida, went to decision with Charlie Ward in that kind of odd fight, and then beat Musasi by decision as well, in one where maybe I don't think, you know, maybe everyone didn't fancy him to win that fight in that way. I think if you're Fabian and you're planning to fight these sort of guys, the Eblins, the Musasis, the Jeffries, you do it in one of two ways, right? And this is where I found the most interest in the chat that I had with him the last week. You go out there and you try to let your hands go and you use your massive physicality, your power and all of that. Or the other way, which is the way he seems to go, and it has worked well for him, is you use your brain. He's a very smart fighter, a very good defensive fighter, a very good, you know, methodical fighter. And he does that a lot. And he kind of said that to me in the interview. Like, he said two things in the interview to me. Basically said he wants to be more methodical rather than just letting the hands go, right? Which is, I don't know, I don't necessarily agree if that's the right way to go for Fabian, to be honest. I think letting the hands go is probably the way to go for Fabian. And the other thing he said, sorry, I'm still dealing with this cough, but hopefully it'll be all right by next time. The other thing that he says is about his preparation, that he's preparing less outside of camp and getting into camp and preparing there more. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing for a guy, if we look at it here, who made his debut all the way back in 2017, you know, fighting as an amateur since 2015, right? He's been fighting for a good while, but like, he hasn't been fighting that long exactly. He's not exactly a massive old veteran in the game who has it all learnt, and you know, and he's talking more about fitness than learning, I suppose, which is not, you know, not to misquote him or anything. Please go and listen to the interview. But I just wonder how that'll affect him. And the more I thought of it, when I heard it first, I was like, oh geez, I'm not sure it's that great. But I think it might be a positive, especially considering he got knocked out in his last fight in September last year. Okay, he's had a good 7 or 8 months, which is a good amount of time to get past it, but I was thinking afterwards, maybe coming in fresh is what Fabian needs. And a fresh Fabian, who put in a lot of work for, you know, that Vanderford fight, that Eblen fight, in terms of, you know, the wrestling, in terms of the, you know, more the anti-wrestling than the wrestling, if you want to put it that way, with the freshness, I think it could be dangerous. Also, I don't think Aaron Jeffries' wrestling is half as good as the likes of Eblen or others. Like, you look at him, he's 14-4. He's lost to Salter, he did beat Austin Vanderford, but he lost to Carbajalio back in there, lost to Brendan Allen, Sean Brady. All good guys, there's no doubt about it. He's never lost to anyone bad, you know, let's put it that way. But I feel like if Fabian can stop the takedown, which I do think he can stop the takedown, I think he can control him on the feet. And the more Jeffrey gets desperate, I think the more Fabian maybe can take over that fight and win it well. You look at Fabian's record again, though, right? And that 12 wins and 7 finishes. Okay, it's not a bad percentage, but only 4 knockouts. I think at this stage of his career, I do think Fabian needs a little bit more than that. And I do think he needs to maybe go to that next level. But can he do it? We will see on this one. That's bet one of the week, minus 140 for Fabian Edwards. The second bet of the week is also from Bellator, and it's from one of the title fights. And I am going, I was very torn on this fight. I said it on the preview, that I'd wait until I came here to give my pick, and I kind of half gave my pick, and I'm going back in it the more I think about it, and the price as well. So my pick for Patricio Ferreira versus Jeremy Kennedy, betting pick anyway, is Patricio. He's around +100. If we look at the prices here, +100 in one place, -105, +100, minus. So he is the underdog. He's a favourite in one place, but he's underdog basically everywhere, and he's around that +100 price. And here's my reasoning behind that. You look at the two fights he lost, right? He lost to Suzuki. It went, 100 seconds or a little bit more than that. He took it on a day's notice. Is it fair or unfair to write that off? You know, I think looking at the Pettis fight, now he did go down a weight for the Pettis fight and all that, but I think looking at that is more applicable, right? So, what happened in that Pettis fight? Well, Pettis was faster than him, and he was just a better striker than him, really. Now he's back up in the weight. He's fighting Jeremy Kennedy. And, like, can Jeremy Kennedy beat him the same way that Pettis beat him? Can he beat him the same way that Suzuki beat him, finishing him early, you know, on it's short notice and all that? I don't think so, right? I don't think so. Unless he takes him down and ground and pounds him out of it straight away. And then maybe, you know, that's an absolute possibility. But can he beat him the same way that Pettis beat him? I don't think so, right? So you're relying on two things now. You're relying on Patricio getting older. He's 36 years of age now. He'll be 37 in a couple of months. And you're relying on Jeremy Kennedy being able to take it to that next level. Right. Let's just have a quick look at Jeremy Kennedy's record. 19-3, 10 decisions, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. So for a guy who's a big-time wrestler, not that many submissions. His record a little bit deceiving. Like, he beat Pedro Carvalho. That Aaron Pico was a shoulder injury. Very good win against Emmanuel Sanchez. Lost to Borox. And before that, it was kind of, you know, guys on the way up rather than the top fighters. Okay, he fought Alexander Volkanovski in the UFC. But you get what I mean. You know, he hasn't really been in there with that top level, apart from Pico and apart from Carvalho. And you know, and Sanchez as well. He's won all of those fights. Right, he's absolutely won all those fights, but the Pico one, not exactly, you know, not exactly. If he'd won that and stand out and knocked him out, I think there'd be a different story, but it's not exactly that. Now, at the same time, right, I'm not that holding that against him. It's neither a positive or a negative, right? The point is, has he proven he can do what he does against a competitor like, you know, Patricio? Now, Pedro Carvalho is a good fighter. And he's a good test for when you're fighting Patricio next, you know. He's a good striker. He hits hard and all, but a very, you know, a very different type of striker. More attacking, less maybe methodical. You know, you could say slightly more dangerous in areas. And you could say Patricio was more dangerous in more areas, maybe. So, there's that. Now, how do Patricio fights usually go? Let's say we're looking back at Patricio from 18 months ago, 2 years ago. He does that, like, you know, the waiting, methodical, I'll use that word again, methodical style on the outside, waits for you to come in, moves around you very, very well, kind of, you know, the literal stick and move, but like a defensive stick and move. And he does it extremely well. There aren't many in MMA who've done it as well as him. Like, he's a very unique, I would say, sort of controlling style. And then he can land his one big shot to either knock you out or keep you guessing or to make you less likely to come in and win rounds, fights, championships. Okay? So for Jeremy Kennedy to beat that, and what I'm doing here basically is I'm stripping away what's happened recently. I'm stripping away is he old? I'm stripping away, did he lose? I'm stripping away, is it time for Kennedy? I'm stripping all that away to the actual nuts and bolts of the fight. Can Kennedy break that distance and come inside and take him down? That's the big question for me. And the more I think about it, I think it's going to be really tough. And then you look at that +100 price and go, right, if this fight was a couple of years ago, or if this fight was, how long ago was it? The loss to Sergio Pettis. It was in June of last year. So it's like, we're not even 9 months ago. I think Patricio would probably be, -350 maybe? -300? And you're giving him +100 now. I think that's an awful big leap for a guy who's never been beaten in that fashion. You know? So like I'll just reiterate it again. The reason why I'm picking him is this. The way he's beaten by a guy like Kennedy is for Kennedy to break down his defense. And it's a defense that's very, very rarely ever, if ever, being broken down in such a way by a wrestler like that. Could it turn? Is he older? Is it the time now? Absolutely possible. Absolutely a possibility. Very much maybe, you know? And it could be. Like a lot of, if you were to come on to me here and go, Sean, I'm leaning that way, I wouldn't disagree with you. You know, and maybe I'll come on next week and go, that was a real bad pick. He was over the hill. All the analysis is right. But could this be a bit of the Poirier's? Could this be a bit of that? I suppose we'll wait and we will see. But I'm going, that price is just too good for me. That price is just too good for me. Patricio Ferreira plus 100. Right. The next bet I'm going for is another one that I thought was just too good, to be honest. And that is, that's Mick Parkin, who is fighting against Muhammad Usman at UFC Fight Night, whatever it is. And he is best price, I'll just put it up for you here. He is best price minus 145, you see here at the very bottom. So, look, I think a lot of Mick Parkin, to be honest, and I'll be honest, I don't think a whole pile of Muhammad Usman, although I think he is proven to be better, maybe, than a lot of people suggested, or even I myself might have suggested. I was very impressed with Mick Parkin's fight against Jamal Pogues. I thought he did very well in that fight. He was good in the contender series as well. Okay, the Kai Machado fight wasn't as impressive, but he got the unanimous decision win in that one. So, you know, he moves to 8-0, five knockouts and one submission there. The other side of it then, we have Muhammad Usman, who's 10-2. You know, he went in there with Jack Collier, went to decision. Again, maybe a similar outing to Parkin's last one. He beat Taffa, wasn't the most impressive. He beat Paunga. The first round of that was an extreme slapfest, and he did well in the second round. But again, maybe not as clean as you would expect from a big up-and-coming prospect. I would say Mick Parkin's work is clean, though. Now, maybe again, not the last fight. And maybe last fight was maybe a bit too clean, maybe trying to be a bit too clean, trying to be a bit too precise. I always think, and maybe this is the wrong way to think, at you know, for up-and-coming heavyweights, if you want to put it that way. But I always think, like, the raw kind of attacking athletic fighter will be beaten by the I'd say Parkin's also an athletic fighter who tries to fight more tactically and technically. Like, if Usman tried to fight more tactically and technically, I think it'd be a very even matchup. But he it's not that maybe he doesn't, but I don't know if he can, you know. Is that just the way he is? Like, his brother is a great example of a guy who fights tactically and technically. If he could fight a little bit more like him, I think it'd be a very even matchup with Parkin. But at the same time, I'll question it again. Like, what's the best way to fight at heavyweight? Is the best way to fight at heavyweight the best way to fight at welterweight? Possibly not. So, you know, so maybe. But at the same time, I have to stick to that kind of core belief. I think the technical fighter will always kind of pick off the guy who's rushing in, who's trying to land that big shot. He might land one, but if he doesn't, he's going to get jabbed up. He's going to get countered. And you have to think about it as well, right? So Mick Parkin trains with that unbelievable team of heavyweights in the UK at the moment, with the likes of Philip DeVries, who's the KSW champion, obviously the UFC interim champion, in Tom Aspinall as well, along with a few more. And like, what's Usman going to bring that two of those lads are not going to bring? Like, you have the athleticism and the power of Aspinall, who I'm sure, you know, it'd be hard probably to pick a guy in the world who could maybe emulate Usman better than maybe an Aspinall could. You know, very, not a similar type of fighter at all, to be honest, but a very similarly athletic type of fighter who can move in the way Usman would move. And then, you know, you have the big guy, the freeze, who can get on top of you and make it tough for you against the cage. You know, the preparation couldn't be better. And I think that'd be a big part of it as well for Parkin. I think that's a massive advantage for him. And I think, the biggest issue with someone like Usman is you get in there and you've never faced anything like him before, and it's a shock to the system. I don't think that will be a shock to the system for Barkin at all. I think quite the opposite. I think it'll be something he's well used to. So I think he's a better fighter. I think the biggest downfall of him maybe not expecting it is or not being used to it is not as much of a drawback as it would be for most people. And a -145, I think that's an absolutely fantastic price. So I am going to go for that as my third bet of the week. Right, my fourth bet of the week is a bit of an interesting one. I am going for, even though she doesn't have too many of them in her career, I'm going for Rose Namajunas to win by decision at +260. Let's just have a quick look at both Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas's records for a second. 12-4 for Ribas. Her wins are spread 3, 4, and 5 between knockout submissions and decisions. Her losses, 3 knockouts and 1 decision for Tug Rose. At the other side of 11-6, which is mad considering how good of a fighter she is, spreading in 2 knockouts, 5 submissions, 4 decisions, 1-1-1 in terms of knockouts, submissions, and decisions in losses. And I think the big part of that is, you look at Ribas again, right? And you look at her, you look at the way her losses have been spread. I suppose she has gotten knocked out a few times over the last while. Namajunas on the other side of it then. Like, she knocked out Zhang Weili with that head kick in 2021. You know, it's 2017, the Ioane and Jędrzejczyk fight before that. That's 7 years, and she's only had 1 knockout in 7 years. The submission side of it then, like, is it? It's Michelle Waterson's last one she submitted in 2017. Do you see what I'm getting at? Is she going to submit her? Is she going to knock her out? Like, probably not, right? Probably not. Now, okay, Ribas has gotten finished, as I said, a few times. She's only lost once by decision. But I've kind of gone backwards in this. I've kind of looked at the end before I looked at the middle and the application. But if you just look at the end, I do think Namajunas is going to be more, slow is not the right word, but methodical. I'll use that word again. Like, you look at her, I might as well pull it up when I can. Her last few fights, right? Forget about the result. Decision, decision, decision. We had that head kick, decision, knockout, decision. That's all the way back until that Ian Jacek fight that we're talking about. So mostly decisions over the last while, whether winning or losing. Now, you look at this fight, right? So let's get to the brass tacks of it. And I actually don't have that much analysis of it apart from this. I think Rose Namajunas is a better fighter. I think... let me just check that flyweight. Yeah, I think at flyweight, I'm actually really not sure why Rose Namajunas is at flyweight, to be honest. But I think Ribas is one of the smaller flyweights. Obviously, she's fought down at 115 as well. I think it's not a big an issue as fighting Manon Firo or others up at that weight class, or if she was fighting, you know, Shevchenko or whoever it might be. I think that's less of an issue for her here, and I think she's just a better fighter. I think she's a very good long fighter, very good at landing that jab. We know what Ribas is like. You know, when Ribas gets into her rhythm, when she starts landing her shots, landing her combinations, putting you in places you don't want to be, she's very good. I feel like, you know, here's an analogy for you. There was this soccer player before, Nicolas Anelka, right? And he was a great goal scorer. But he'd score, you know, if he scored 20 goals in a season, he'd score 14 goals in about 10 games, wouldn't score for another 20 games, and then he'd score 6 goals in 3 games or something at the end of the season. You know, he's one of those guys. I think Ribas is a little bit like that as well. Either very good, blows very, very hot, or blows a bit cold. Now, if you are that sort of fighter against a controlling type of fighter like Rose Namajunas, who can fight and does fight long and off a lot of the time, I think that can be a surefire way to take you from hot to cold. I think if Hibas has a tough first round, second round, you know, you go 3, 4, and 5, and the level of control that she will have to take back from Nami Yunus will be massive. I think if Nami Yunus gets that, she's the ultimate, I think, rhythm fighter. If she's winning, she will continue to win. And I think she will. I think she will. I think she is going to realize that she is a better all-round fighter than Hibas early enough in the fight. I think she's going to pick her off. I think she's going to be happy picking her off. We know what way Nami Yunus kind of looks at the sport as well. And, you know, with Pat Barry there in the corner, they're looking for perfection rather than a finish. They're looking for, I don't get hit, I pick her off here, 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 and here. You know, they were after the Esparza fight and were like, look, we didn't really get hit in that fight and I touched her up a lot of times. That's perfect. And everyone else is like, oh, that's so boring and all. That's kind of what I think she needs to do against Hibas. But Hibas won't stand back like Esparza did and make it a boring fight. She'll actually come forward and she'll try to land, but I don't think that will work well for her. Now, do I think that'll get her finished? Probably not. So that's why I'm going for a decision. And I think that price is really, really, really good to win the decision there at plus 240. Let me just pull up some of the other prices on that. The Hibas is plus 200 best price, minus 210 best price for Rose. And I'll just show you the price here of Rose to win by decision. Plus 260 now, best price at the moment. So that price has gone up again. So plus 260 at the moment here for that one. And we put up more of the prices here again on that in a second. So yeah, plus 260, Nami Yunus by decision. That's the price I did add. For some reason, I thought it was plus 240. Okay, Nami Yunus by decision, bet number 4. And for the flyer of the week, I was looking at this price yesterday, and it was plus 300, and it had only just come out, and the price has now moved to plus 360. So I think that's big enough for a flyer, and that bet is a straight up Carl Moore to beat Corey Anderson. In the main event at Bellator Belfast, you see here best price plus 360, another place is plus 350, plus 320, all over the plus 300 mark there. So I think that's big enough right now to give you as the flyer of the week. You give me a straight up pick in this fight, and I'm probably picking Corey Anderson, right? But I think that price is way too wide, and I'll give you a couple of reasons why, right? Let's just pull up Carl Moore's record here. 12-2, 5 submissions, 2 knockouts, 5 decisions. His last few fights. I did a video on this a while back, and I spoke about how maybe it's misunderstood how good these wins have been. He fought Carl Albrechtsen after coming back 3 years out, 2019, he fought in that card in 2022 when he came back. And it's hard to know what he was going to look like when he came back. Carl Albrechtsen was ranked at the time, beat him, went in and fought Magic Rosansky, who a lot of people didn't know. But Magic Rosansky had actually beaten Will Flory during the pandemic, a very good fighter, beat him, and then beat Alex Palizzi, who I believe was ranked number 7 at the time, and beat him fairly well. So he's beaten 2 ranked guys, and like a guy who probably should be ranked, but a lot of people maybe don't know him. Like, there's very few at the middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight division, especially in Bellator, who are beating guys who are 2 ranked guys and another guy who should be ranked. That happens very, very, very rarely. In fact, it happens very rarely in most divisions. But for Carl Moore to do that after having been out for 3 years, I thought that was a very, very, very big thing, and maybe went a little bit too unnoticed. Now, obviously, I'm Irish, and I've seen him up close personal for years and years and years. So maybe I'm looking at it a little bit closer, but that's my job too. That's why I'm here. And it was true. It was all true. And I think Bellator have realized that, and everyone has realized that, and that's why he's rightfully gotten this spot. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean he's going to win the fight, or that doesn't mean he's as good as Corey Anderson or anything like that. You look at Corey over the last while, you know, he's had a bit of a back and forth time. Beat Phil Davis by split decision, as everyone does. Lost to Nimkov. We had that no contest. And he did a great run in his 3 fights when he came into Bellator, you know, beating Bader, Yezhmodordov, and Melvin Manhoef as well. This fight, I think, comes down to a few things. The first and almost biggest thing is the crowd. How big of a difference is the crowd going to play? The crowd's going to be insane, let me tell you that. I think the way the card is set out is going to help as well. If you look at it here, Corey Anderson, Karl Moore is the main event. The two fights under that, no Irishman in the co-main event, Patricio against Jeremy Kennedy, no Irishman in Fabian versus Aaron Jeffrey, and then we have James Gallagher before that. Sorry, let's say James Gallagher wins or loses. If he wins, he'll be absolutely mad. If he loses, okay, the crowd will be down a bit, but they'll have an hour to recover there before they get to the main event. And I think that is absolutely massive. A big issue a lot of the Irish cards lately is, you know, there's been a big loss maybe in the co-main event and the main event, you know, Queeley walking out, whoever it might have been, it was a little bit damper than it would normally have been. I don't think that'll be the case here. So that, I think, is a massive advantage, first off, for Karl Moore. Maybe something you wouldn't think of normally as well, right? I think that's huge and going to get him through, get him through bad times here if they happen. I think the other things, right, which are massive, are obviously more fight-based. First of all, what is Corey Anderson going to do? I think a lot of people, and I don't know if I agree with it, think Corey Anderson's just going to come out, try to wrestle Karl Moore, get him to the ground. Now, first of all, maybe he will. Second of all, Karl Moore's actually very good on the ground. He's very good submissions. You know, like, he doesn't have a lot of submission wins. Well, he has 5 submission wins, I suppose, out of 12, which is pretty good. He submitted Carl Albrechtsen. He submitted lads back in the day. You know, Cyril Asker, who was in the UFC, and others as well. A lot of Cage Warrior submissions there when he was going to win the Cage Warriors light heavyweight title, which a lot of people forget as well. But so that's something to worry about. If he does take him down. Now, the other side of it, will he take him down? I feel like he won't initially, right? I think Corey Anderson is going to come out here and try to strike with Karl Moore, having a normal mixed martial arts match. I don't think he wants to necessarily turn this into a wrestling match. If the takedown opens itself up and it's available, will he go for it? Absolutely, no doubt about it. But I don't think he's going to be, you know, coming out doing a Habib in it. Let's put it that way. So I think that gives Karl Moore, I think that gives Karl Moore something to maybe try to get an advantage from, whether it is landing a big shot. You know, he's very powerful. He's a massive man. He's fought at heavyweight before. You know, Anderson's not a heavyweight. I think, you know, could he make a middleweight? Or he probably could, like. So that power, that size is something he could use, I think, in that fight. The other, like, I may sound like I'm clutching the straws or picking ways for him to win, but like at the higher weight classes, I think those are legitimate ways to win, right? Can he land a big shot? Can he land himself a takedown? Can he get on top? Because when he gets on top, he's an absolute demon on top. And then there have been fights recently where you're thinking maybe, okay, is he going to get taken down? And he's the one who gets on top and he dominates there. You have to remember as well, he has some really good training. He's Johnny Walker's one of his main training partners. I mentioned Will Fury earlier on, one of his main training partners as well. He's two main training partners. He's very good training, which is unusual, I suppose, for a guy in this side of the world at light heavyweight to have. A little bit like Mick Parker, and I mentioned earlier as well. So there's a lot of things going for Karl Moore. That's kind of what I'm going here. Why am I picking him as a flyer? Because there's a lot of things going for him. He has the crowd. Great training. He's another thing as well, people forget. He's been there and done that. Like, he's won a Cage Warriors light heavyweight title. He's been out for a long time. He's had to struggle. He's felt that struggle, which a lot of people maybe haven't. And I think he's reached at a time, you know, he made his debut all the way back in 2011. He was fighting as an amateur in 2010. He's been at this for 14 years. This isn't a new guy who's, you know, won a few fights and now he's getting a title shot because he's Irish. Absolutely not. This guy has earned it. Absolutely earned it. And it's good timing for him. In a good place. And I think that plus 360 is too big. I think it should have been maybe plus 200 or something like, maybe plus 250, but a plus 360, that's my flyer of the week. There you go. Right. Let's run through some of the other odds here, and I'll take you on a journey here and we look at them. As I said, the straight up price is there for Anderson and Moore. None of the prop bets are up yet. Unfortunately, I waited as long as I could to record that. Nick Kelly, Jordan Elliott, the amateur fight. Nick Kelly's a massive favorite there. Like, he will win it, almost certainly. But, like, you never know what the amateurs. So that plus 325 might be looking good next week. Kennedy Fahea, obviously, we've talked about that, as we have with Jeffrey and Edwards. I'm really torn, lads, on James Gallagher versus Leandro Higo. Gallagher did open as a favorite, I believe. Let me just check here if you can see this. He did, yeah. So he's gone from minus 110 to plus 103 or plus 110 in some places. He is the underdog now. I think that is fair. I think that's correct. I think Gallagher should probably be the underdog, but in a very, very close fight. Who's the pick there? Like, I hate to say it. I hate to go against my countrymen, but I think Higo still at that price is the pick. If it goes out to minus 175, maybe, I'd maybe be turning around, but at that price, I still think it has to be Higo. Susan Wild. I haven't seen a whole lot of Susan, to be honest, but if he's that price against Wild, he must be good. Do you know one price I love? I absolutely love it. Plus 140 for a Luke Trainer in that fight there. Really like that price against Grant Neal. Again, after that, not a whole lot. Alfie Davis has a short notice replacement. I think Nathan Kelly at a massive price, minus 1,000, is going to win that one. Let's jump over to the UFC then. The straight up prices, Hibas best price plus 200, minus 210 for Nami Yunus. I do like the minus 210 Nami Yunus, to be honest. And there isn't a whole lot more on that card. Justin Taffa plus 160 against Carl Williams minus 190. You know, I don't know. Give me Taffa at the plus money in that. Do we have the under a round and a half? Plus 135. Give me that under. Give me that under all day long. Yes, absolutely. Dobson and Shabazzian. Shabazzian, you know, what's the biggest price there? Minus 215. I wouldn't trust Shabazzian. My life depended on that. To be honest, no way. Give me Dobson in that fight. Best price plus 170. Simon and Talbot. I think Simon at plus 125 might be a good price there. Talbot is a good fighter, all right. But Simon, I think because he lost his last fight, maybe a little bit underrated. So I'll throw him in there. Billy Q taking this. Is it on short notice? Or maybe it's his opponent on short notice. I do like him against Alal. Best price, minus 130. And after that, not a whole lot. Kurt Halabaugh is the underdog in his fight against Trey Ogden. I like Junior Rosa, actually. Plus 123 in that fight. That's pretty good. There's a couple more in the UFC as well here. Those people, if you want to look at those prices on screen. But the Parker one is the big one that I'm looking at there, minus 148 to win his fight over there. So yeah, that's all the betting for the weekend. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know if you enjoyed the graphics and the pulling stuff up there. Hopefully you did, and hopefully we'll keep it going every week, and we'll go again, and we can keep getting better. So let's recap the bets for the week. Fabian Edwards, minus 140, bet 1, bet 2, Patricio Ferreira, plus 100, minus 145 for McParkin. I'm going plus 260 for Rosnam Yunus to win the decision in the main event. And in the main event in Bellator, the Flyer of the Week, plus 360, Carl Moore, straight up to win against Corey Anderson. All right, everyone, thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Sean Sheehan for SureDog.com. Please bet responsibly, and we'll see you all next time.